Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And all I can say is, it is a good word this morning. We are going to be going through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John this morning. And all I can say is, they are awesome. They are awesome. We get caught up in the craziness of this world. You got folks that are blue and they are red and they are vaxxers and anti-vaxxers and they are this and they are that. Whoa, wait a minute. Where's God in it? That's what we got to understand. Where is God in it? Are you talking to the Lord or are you just sitting there listening to this news network or that news network or this commentator or that commentator? Are you opening up the Word of God? Because it's God's Word that will lead us and guide us and show us what to do. Stand on the Word of God and you don't go wrong. And listen to the voice of God and you won't go wrong. We got to love each other. Just as God loved us, we got to love each other. It don't matter what politics you sprout. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. God could care less about your skin color. God could care less about your politics. But God wants to know, do you love your brothers and your sisters? Do you care about each other? What did you do to help somebody on yesterday? What did you do? What will you do to help somebody today? Will you call a friend and say, just say, I love you? Or will you sit on your hands and say, I can't go to church today because you know that COVID thing. Do we walk in fear or do we walk in faith? I'm going to be in church. I never quit going to church. Through all the pandemic, I had myself in church because my church did not close. We didn't close because God's business does not stop because of a virus. God's business does not stop because of he said, she said. God's business is what we got to be about. As Jesus said at a 12-year-old, I have got to be about my Father's business. And that's what we must do today, be about our Father's business. And we got to read a word. And I tell you this, what we're about to read today, John, 1 John, it's going to change your life. It's going to change how you think about things. 1 John takes you down a path toward God, toward his son, toward understanding. And that's what we're going to do. Hopefully understand God's word. So please join me in 1 John. If you have our Bible that we're going through, the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. Shout out to Dr. Stanley. Shout out to In Touch Ministries. You guys are awesome, and I am so grateful. I have a very good friend who is a daily bread prayer warrior. That woman is an evangelist to her heart. She will go out. She's like the post office. Rain, sleet, or snow, she going to get those daily breads out to those that need them. and they appreciate it. She's moving from my city, but I know that God is going to use her in a mighty way where she's moving, because that is her passion. That is her gift, is to get out, speak about God, and tell the world who he is through her ministries. And she has many. And God's going to use her for each and every one. So we got to thank God for those that we see doing the will and doing the work of God. You know, shout out to Evangelist Shannon, who is also a moving forward prayer warrior. So I thank God for you, my sister. And I'm not ashamed to tell the world, you rock, girl. Keep doing what God called you to do. Don't get tired in well doing, because God's got your season coming. Hallelujah. Due season, you're going to reap, and you're going to reap well, because God sees your heart. He sees your heart. He sees your heart, and he knows your name. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning. Woo, hallelujah. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be your children, to be filled with your love, to be filled up to overflow, knowing that there is no God like you, that you, Lord God, bring the sunshine as you bring the rain. Because each one gives us warmth and one cleanses our heart, our mind, our bodies, and our soul. Lord God, I thank you for my rainy season. I thank you for humbling me, Lord God, and helping me to see that you are in charge of everything and that nothing happens without your consent. Father God, I pray for the nations of this world as we get ready to go into that flu and more COVID season, Lord, because we know that as it comes, you are in charge. You are in charge of life. You are in charge of death. You are in charge of each and every one of our souls. Father God, I pray that light prevails over darkness, that truth prevails over lies, that hope prevails over hopelessness. But Lord God, you are hope, you are light, you are peace and joy. And Lord God, you are our absolute. You are our sunshine, because you gave us your sun, who shines his light on all darkness, who shines his light on our hearts and our minds and our spirits, who shines his light even over death. Death has no sting when Christ is in it, because Jesus is absolute and he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And carry the keys to the kingdom with him from the pit. Lord God, we ask you to cover each and every one of us with your blood, Christ Jesus. We ask you, O Lord, to be with us in our time of the fiery furnaces and our lying stand moments, Lord God. We ask you, Christ Jesus, to be with us in our ups, to be with us in our downs, to be with us when we're in our doldrums, to be with us when we're in our happy place, to be with us in our coming in and our going out, and the setting and the rising of the sun, to be with us, hallelujah, through the bad, through the ugly. And Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, as your word goes forth, Lord God. Remove all me and increase me with you, Father God. Fill me up from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy sight. For Father God, you are my strength. You are my strength. You are my strength. And you are my redeemer. And Lord God, I ask you again, in the name of Christ Jesus, the matchless Savior, my friend, my Savior, the love of my life, I ask you in his name, Father God, let this word be a balm in Gilead over a soul that is hurting, over a soul that is sick, over a soul that needs salvation. In Jesus' name, you are, Lord God, my everything, my strength, and my redeemer, my absolute. And I
thank you for this day, again, that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. And ask that this word be a blessing to the hearer and the reader of it. Amen. 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 Oh, amen. Thanking God for this mighty word this morning. And Dr. Stanley has given us some life lessons for this very short word. But I tell you something. This word has a mighty, mighty impact on how we should think, on how we should feel, on what we should know, because we are in war. We are in a time of war. And I tell you this, the enemy fights dirty. He fights, and we got to fight the fight of faith. Don't let anybody knock you off your square today. Don't get mad over little things. I love the author of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Because some things, it's just silly to be fussing about. Just let it go. Shake it off. Give it to God and keep on moving. Move forward. Don't let anybody knock you off your square today. Because there's going to be, the enemy's going to do his best to try to knock you off your square. He's going to do his best to get you off and get you all upset so that you're not doing what you're called to do. Check it off and keep it moving. Hallelujah. Give God praise and watch the enemy flee. 1 John chapter 1. And it says this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Can I say it one more time? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Tell the truth and shame that wicked devil, y'all. And as we continue, it says this, is if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Tell the devil, you are a liar, but the Lord God is truth. Hallelujah. Who do you belong to? It's a question we got to ask today. Who do I belong to? Am I a child of light or am I of darkness? We want to be light. We want to be with our Father. We want to be with the Son. We want to be with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lights us up so the Father can see his children. Light up today, y'all. Light up and give that darkness what he needs to flee. Flee from the light. For the truth is not in a liar. Come on now. Let's get to some life lessons from Dr. Stanley on this word. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Everything in the Bible has been given to us to help us and enable us to enjoy our intimate relationship with God. Priority for your life is to walk in close fellowship with him. 1 John 1 and 4, these things we write to you that your joy may be full.
And Dr. Stanley tells us believers sometimes excuse some very foolish behavior with the statement, but God wants me to be happy. And if you can see my face, you see, really, that's the look I'm giving. The truth is God wants something much better for us than happiness. He wants joy, but that comes only in obedience to him. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You don't have to be happy living a subpar life. God wants us to be happy, but he wants us to have joy and peace. And happiness built on lies and deceit is not happiness. What it is deceitfulness. And the devil is all up in it. We got to walk in light. He is busy, busy, and busier. And we got to learn how to fight. We can't be passive. We got to be aggressive in our faith and in our walk. Don't let anybody tell you that it's all right to live any old kind of way. You know, we all have sinned and we all fall short. But every day you get up, shake it off, and say, Lord, forgive me and help me to be better today. But if God gave you a new day, that meant God gave you a do-over. Let your do-over be better than your yesterday. Lord, I'm going to do what you say do. Get up. Go to church. Get in the fellowship of other believers. And if they hateful Christians, get up and walk out of that church and find a loving church. Find a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Find a church where folks just love you just because of you and just because you're a child of God. We all need a village family. I am so grateful every day for the village that raised me. I'm thankful for those women, those willing workers, those Addie Lucas Missionary Society ladies that to tell my mama everywhere I was, because they was all over the city. And I'm going to tell you something. If I was on 10th Street, my mama knew it on 7th. If I was on the south side, my mama on the north side knew it. And if I was on the north side, the mama that was raising me on the south side knew it. Them two women kept tabs, believe me. I had no idea. They knew everything. They knew whose house I was at. They knew everything. Where my bike went, they was there too. So, and they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have TikTok. They didn't have anything but Jesus. And they knew everything. Who you're with, my mama knew it. Come on now. Miss Lydia knew it, and Miss Evelyn knew it too. They was in cahoots. Come on now. Them two ladies knew they stuff. Thanking God for my aunties. Thanking God for my mothers. Thanking God for the village that raised me. 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. John, the apostle of love, tends to be very uncompromising in his perspective on the Christian walk. Obedience to God is necessary. He says not optional. And those who habitually disobey do not know God. Woo! John does not play. He don't play with the word, and he does not play with his faith. We all know who John was. John was the disciple that Jesus loved. John was the one that he entrusted revelations with. He entrusted our future with John. He entrusted our hope with John. He entrusted John to be the one to tell it like it is. And like it is, whether you like it or not. John does not quibble, and John does not play. You can hate the book 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. You can hate it if you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. He's getting you prepared for Revelation. And he's getting you prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because understand this, he is coming back. And it's probably sooner than we think. And the one thing you don't want to be
is caught when them trumpets blow in sin. Don't be caught in sin because you don't know the day, you don't know the hour, you don't know the minute or the second when Jesus is coming back. And all I can say is don't be caught in sin. Understand, God does not play. John is giving us warning. He's giving us an understanding. Do you want to be in light or do you want to be in darkness? That's something we each got to come up with. We got to ask ourselves, am I liking how I'm living? And I can answer that to my, I can only talk for me. There's some things in my life that I definitely want to change. And there's some things in my life that I got to change. Because God is humbling me. I tell you. And I am thankful for it. I am grateful for it. Because it's changing me to be better and to want to be better. Come on now. We got to understand God is in charge of everything. He's in charge of your getting up. He's in charge of your going down. He's in charge of when you're up. He's in charge of when you have plenty. And he's in charge when you have lack. And sometimes when you have lack, it's to humble you so you appreciate when you do have plenty. Thank God every day for your humbling. Thank God every day for when you're going through your fire, the furnace, when you're going through your storms, when you're going through, it's for a reason. And it's to make you better. It's to make you stronger. It's to make you wiser. It's to make you depend on the Father and not on yourself and on the world. Hallelujah. Thanking God for the word this morning. Excuse me. The Lord is preaching to me this morning. Keep speaking through me, Lord, because I'm hearing you. 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, hallelujah. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Thank you, Jesus. Now, by this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. I'm going to read that again. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eye. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I'm going to read it again. Because we are walking in the world, and we got to walk in Jesus Christ. We got to understand this wicked world is a stumbling block. It's got our children all confused. Kids want to be on TikTok because they want to be an influencer. They want to be on Facebook telling all they did. Some things don't belong in the world. They are between you and God. You don't have to get on Facebook and tell everything about yourself, that you out of town, that you at this, that you doing that, that you here, you there. And I will tell you something. An influencer can be a dehumanizing too, because the more you influence, the more haters you gain. The more you influence, the more trouble comes your way. The more you influence, the more somebody is going to influence others to hate you. Jealousy is a horrible thing. It ruins lives. It ruins families. But I'm going to tell you something. We, as men and women of God, cannot conform to this world. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that comes through our faith. That comes through our love. That comes through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. If you're not saved, today is a good day to get to know the Lord. And the Word of God says one more time, I told y'all, 1 John is nothing to play with. He's going to tell you like it is, and like it is, it is. If you don't want to hear the truth, this is not the show for you. If you don't want to hear the truth of God's word, not mine, because God's word preaches itself, you just read the word, and the word hits your heart. Come on now. God is speaking to us today through 1 John, through John, the beloved apostle. And it says this, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, if it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, and they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is a promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Not my words,
God's word. The apostle has spoken this morning, and he continues in his word. We're going to continue, but a couple of life lessons from 1 John chapter 2. And it says this in verse 3, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. When we obey God by the power of his spirit, we not only please God and make it possible for us to enjoy close fellowship with him, we also build confidence in our hearts that we truly belong to him. An intimate relationship with Christ makes it both possible and appealing for us to obey God. If we think of salvation as an invitation to sin, he'll forgive me anyway, we're on the wrong track. I'm going to go out and do what I'm going to do, and I'm going to be forgiven because I'm going to ask for forgiveness, and it's going to be all right. If you know what you're doing is wrong, then what are you going to do? God sees everything. He sees our heart, and he sees the subterfuge of our quote-unquote repentance. If you're not really repenting, then don't go up to somebody. I want to repent. No, you messed up, and you know you messed up, and you messed up on purpose. He sees all of our stuff. He sees it. He knows us. He knows our good. He knows our bad, and he knows our ugly. But one thing I can say is he loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. And, yes, if a man stumbles, he's going to pick us up, dust us off, set us up straight, and help us to move forward. That's why he loves us. There's going to come a time where it's going to be too late to repent because Jesus is going to be here. And when he comes, you don't want him to come and catch you in your sin because then it'll be too late to repent. Too late to ask for forgiveness. Too late to make it right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Not even John the apostle knew what was in the heart of those who made up his local church. He did not know that some members of his congregation did not truly know Jesus until they abandoned the faith. And there have been many times where we have all fallen short. I can't speak for anybody but myself. But there was a time in my life where I did not want anything to do with the church. I love God. I love Jesus. But I could not stand the church. The building. And some of the people in the building I did not like. I'm just being honest. Because I got caught up in pride. I'm just being honest. I got caught up in pride. And I followed my husband because he got caught up in pride too. And our pastor at the time was a very proudful man because he had every, you know, PhD, DAD, this AD behind his name. He just knew he was a theologian and everything he said was the gospel. And you could not have an opinion. And if you had an opinion, he tried to beat you down to conform to his way of thinking. And I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of that attitude that he had, and I don't want nothing to do with it. And then you had teachers that didn't know how to deal with children, but teaching Sunday school. Got sick of them too. And said, forget it, I am done. I can teach my kids myself, ourselves. Because we have been Bible study leaders. We have Bible study at our home, and we both love God. But we got tired of hateful Christians. Our quote-unquote Christians. And so we tuned out. It was a mistake. And I'll call it what it was. It was a mistake. And I repent every day for it. Did not do what God said to do, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I didn't train up my children to be in the house of God. And so they come sporadically when they feel like it. And not because they want to come, but because I asked them to come. And that was where I have to repent every day. And I ask God for repentance. I repent for not doing what God called me to do, because God called my husband and I at that time to take over the Sunday school and to start teaching there. Because he knew we had a love for him and a love for educating our children in the Word of God. Instead, we tuned out and didn't follow our calling. And I didn't follow my calling until late in life with lots of regrets. So I say to you, if you have an anointing on your life, don't sit on it. Don't sit on what God gives you. You will have regrets. And you will say, Lord, forgive me every day because you messed up. But understand, when you mess up, you clean up. And every day I'm cleaning up and trying to be better than I was. I love God. And I love what I do for God. I love God so much. Thankful that he's a forgiving God. Don't let hateful Christians run you out of the house of God. You become a loving Christian because your light will shine on their darkness and watch God work in changing them. Watch God work in changing them. Don't send your children to church mamas and dads. Take them. Don't be like me. Because you will have regrets. Because you need the word just as much as they do. Not meaning to give my testimony this morning, but God has a way of pulling things out of you that you try to keep, you know, oh, we try to act like we're so holy. No, we all make mistakes. We all fall short of God's glory and God's goodness. But we thank him every day because he's got love for us and he forgives us. Hallelujah. Let's get back into our word. And the word of God tells us in 1 John chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that we shall be. What we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Hallelujah. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. But this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I'm going to read that again. Little children, verse number 7, chapter 3 of 1 John. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. We're talking Jesus. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brother. Brethren, if the world hates you, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in the word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and by his. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit he has given us. Hallelujah. We'll go back to this life lesson the Dr. Stanley gave us. And this is 1 John from chapter 2. And then we'll go back to our chapter 3, but I needed to go to this chapter 2 because we were talking Antichrist. And it says this, the Spirit of the Antichrist, this is what the Bible says about it. And this is something we need to get into our spirit and write it on our heart. And Dr. Stanley says that many people have the philosophy that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. However, it does matter what you believe because your beliefs determine your relationship to God, how you relate to others, and what eternal destiny is in store for you. One day we will all stand before Almighty God to give an account of how we've lived. Therefore, now is the time to be certain about what we believe and where those beliefs lead us. What really matters is if our beliefs measure up to God's word or whether we've been taken in by the spirit of the age, which the Bible calls the spirit of Antichrist. Although Antichrist is the Bible's name for a specific individual who will someday lead the earth to rebel against Almighty God, Antichrist also means the spirit underlying our culture as it opposes the lordship of Jesus Christ. It is an it is as old as the Garden of Eden. When Eve chose to rebel against the command of God, the spirit of Antichrist appeared in our world. It's the willful determination to usurp the place of God by making our own decisions and ignoring his wisdom and sovereignty. Unfortunately, this lawless spirit has penetrated every part of the world we live in. It fills our universities, our businesses, and even our pulpit. Therefore, it's virtually important that we know what we believe and why we believe it. We must believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We must believe Jesus is the Son of God, deity in human flesh, and that he is the only way to salvation. We must believe that he died on the cross as full payment for our sins and experience a bodily resurrection so that we may be forgiven and have eternal life. We believe that the Holy Spirit indwells every believer and has sealed us as children of God. Finally, we believe that Jesus Christ is coming again and will take us to the eternal home he has prepared. John writes, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Antichrist denies Christ's deity, atoning death, and the truth of God's word. However, the Lord has given every believer the presence of the Holy Spirit and the word of God to discern truth from error. That's why the word tells us to meditate on it day and night so you can determine and understand truth from error, where you can see when God's word is bastardized, when God's word is changed, when God's word is pulled upside down. Spirit of Antichrist is in the pulpit, and we got to have discerning spirits to see past the surface. Somebody get up and read the word and then change the meaning. That's why you read it for yourself. That's why you study it yourself. That's why you learn it yourself. God's word is God's word. It can't be changed. It can't be moved. Devil is not in him. Antichrist denies Christ's deity, atoning death, and the truth of God's word. However, the Lord has given every believer the presence of the Holy Spirit and the word of God to help us discern truth from error. If we don't have Jesus Christ, we have nothing. All else is vain and empty philosophy and can offer us only death. The truth is that we need not surrender to the deception, for Christ the Lord is risen. He is real. He is God, and he has the victory over the spirit of this age. Jesus said, the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. Get it in your memory arsenal. The opposition may seem powerful today, and it may seem to have won the war for our culture, yet Christ is still Lord of all creation, and he will have the final word. In the meantime, you and I must know our beliefs and know them well so that we can communicate them to a world hungry for truth. Hallelujah. That word had a gift. God sent me back. He said, you got to read that. And I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord. And our last life lesson for 1 John chapter 3 is this. We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is. One day we will exchange our worn out, sin-prone, weak body for new models patterned after Jesus' resurrection body, strong, ageless, free of all sin, and completely at home in the holy presence of God. Hallelujah. Again, God is careless about our outside because he's looking at our inside.
Is your inside light or is your inside dark? That's something to think about. But that's between you and God, because there is no judgment in me, because I can't send anybody to heaven and I can't send anybody to hell. Hallelujah. All I can tell you is what the word of God says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Hallelujah. Believers who, more than anything else, want to obey and please God, usually have tender conscience. Sometimes these consciences can condemn us, but the Spirit himself bears witness that we are children of God. Romans 8:16. Jesus said that those who abide in him, draw near to him, listen to his words and obey them, will bear much fruit. Something that glorifies the Father, John 15:5-8. Fruitful believers have the power to avoid sin. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We got to praise the Lord this morning and know that he is in charge of everything. On tomorrow, we will be going into Hosea chapter 1, and we'll be in Hosea tomorrow, as well as going back on track to John. We'll be back in John one more time. We'll be finishing up, actually, 1 John on Tuesday, God willing. I am grateful that God has given us a great word to meditate on today. Keep God's word in your heart. Keep it in your arsenal. Keep God's word where it belongs, in your heart. And thank him every day for giving you opportunity for do-over. If you woke up this morning, God gave you a do-over opportunity. Let your today be better than your yesterday. If you can't say something nice, keep your tongue behind your teeth. You know, and I'm speaking to me too, because I can have a mouth. And I ask God every day to remove this tongue that speaks negativity sometimes. I can speak it just like everybody else because I'm human. But I ask forgiveness. And I ask forgiveness to anybody if I've hurt your feelings, if I've hurt you in any way, shape, or form. Forgive me. Because I don't want to go through the day with a heart that's unforgiving. And with a heart that's full of malice, because that is not of God. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Don't let that Antichrist spirit enter into your heart. Let your heart be light. If you do wrong, repent and move forward. Don't let the enemy make you feel like you are less than because you made mistakes in your life. We all have made mistakes. We all have fallen short of God's glory. But understand, because y'all know I get filled up through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are made whole. We are made light. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us hope in a future filled with him. Thank God every day for a new day, because every day that you wake up is a new beginning. Use it wisely and use it for the glory of God. That's all I have this morning. If there's anybody that would like to speak, now is the time. But I just want to go back. Y'all know our little book that I love to read. We started in 1 John this morning. And I just want to give a quick overview before we get out of here of what 1 John is about. You know, it says that the author of 1 John is traditionally the Apostle John. And we know who he was. He was a disciple, John, who Jesus loved and who Jesus instructed. And
gave some powerful words, and who knew Jesus best, and who he gave the responsibility of Revelations. The most difficult book, I'm sure, that has ever been written besides Daniel. And this is what it was written about, AD 92. Only disciple apostle that did not die a violent death. That did not get martyred by being sawed in half, or crucified upside down, or thrown off buildings. You know, he was the only apostle disciple that died of old age, was John. This is what it says in 10 words or less. Jesus was real man just as he is real God. That's what we learned, that he was just like us. And he died for us because he knows everything about us. He knows because he was a man too. And he was God. And he walked among us. He ate just like we did. He cried and prayed just like we do. He was a man. And because he was a man, he knows how to intercede for us with the Father. And I thank him for interceding for all of us today. And some details. It says, 1 John tackles a strange heresy that claimed Jesus had been on earth only in spirit, not in body. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. John wrote that he knew Jesus personally as one, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. And that knowledge leads to a saving belief in Jesus. Saving belief leads to obedience, but even when we sin, we know that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we what? Confess your sins to be forgiven. Beloved, this is a quotable. Love, let us love one another. For love is of God. God's love. Hallelujah. God is love. And I leave you with these. First John includes none of the usual features of a Bible letter. Greetings, identification of the author and the like, but is a very warm, compassionate letter nonetheless. So what? These things have I written, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And we'll be getting to that on Tuesday. John, 1 John chapter 5. And before we get out of here, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And then we will be wrapping it up. And Sister Carolyn's word for yesterday is this. When one door shuts, believe God for a better one to open. Trust everything has a purpose in your life. And today is we are blessed and divinely favored. Forget what is behind and reach forward for what is ahead. If you trust God's promises and have welcomed Jesus in your heart, then you believe that your future is intensely and eternally bright. Have a spiritual Sunday, family. Remember, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And know that God is in charge of what? Everything. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. I love you all. Be blessed. Have a great day. And know that Jesus loves you. And so do I. There's nothing you can do about it. But follow his word. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.